The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Pei, Ktsas Mimalachos HaAsuras B'Shabbos. Some of the forbidden activities that may not be performed on Shabbos. We are up to Sif Nun Gimel. Usually, a person should be careful. Kishe writes on list and table when he wants to close a box, like clear or some other vessel, sheyesh sham zavuvim, that have flies or other flying creatures in them, or other creatures. Sheyafrichem tchila misham, that you should first make them fly out. You should chase away, shoo away the flies from the box, and only afterwards you should close it. Kikashe husaisim, because when you close the box or container and the flies remain inside, him when he threw them, shall they become trapped there, and that is the malacha tzeda, the act of trapping, which is forbidden. And even though that's not your intent is to close the box and to preserve the food, or whatever reason you'd like to close the box or the container, still it's what we call a psik reshe. It's something which is inevitable, even though you don't intend it, but since it inevitably follows the act that you are doing. Closing the box inevitably traps the flies. Therefore, it is forbidden to close the box and to trap the flies. When we come up, and still, however, in its cloud, you don't have to be careful and inspect and make sure there are no more flies left in the box or the container. And rather, you should shoo away, you should chase away the flies that you can see. And you can close the container and don't worry about it. You could rely that there are no more flies in there, because now it's only a doubt as to whether or not there are flies, and therefore, in doubt, you don't have to be strict and you don't have to prevent yourself from closing the box. Mr. Brewer points out that if you'd like to close the box when there are flies in there, as long as you leave the box open a crack so that the flies could actually get out, well, it may not be easy, but as long as they could get out, the box is open sufficiently, the opening is sufficiently wide for the flies to get out, even if it's not so readily apparent to them, or there's some other hole in the side of the box where the flies could escape from. So in that type of situation, there is no tzeda, it's not called trapping, because the flies are not, in fact, trapped. They could escape. Similarly, if it's a large closet type thing, where even if the person would be in the closet with the flies, they wouldn't be able to trap the flies, because the flies have plenty of room to move around, that's also not considered trapping, and there's no problem to close the door of the closet, even if you know for sure there are flies in there. Sif Nun Dalet. Also, the Haitzi Dam, it is forbidden to extract blood from any animal, any person or animal or live creature. Vafilo Dam Shebein HaShinayim, even blood which is between a person's teeth. Also, Limsoitz, it's forbidden to suck it out. So for some reason a person's tooth is bleeding, while it's permitted to swallow the blood, it's not considered non-kosher, as long as it has never left your mouth, but to actively suck, to extract more blood, is forbidden. Drawing blood is an offshoot of the malacha of chayvel, of wounding, which is the malacha of sheichet, of killing. So when you extract blood, it's a partial killing of the living entity. The blood is considered the life force of a person or an animal, and therefore to extract blood is considered as if it's similar to killing and is subsumed under that malacha of killing. You're not allowed to put some type of bandage on a wound, which causes the blood or the pus to come out of the wound, because, again, you're pulling out blood, you're extracting blood, which is forbidden. And he calls again, and certainly, the Asun Litchik is the Maki, you're not allowed to press the wound, in order to extract blood or pus. Obviously, we're talking over here, there's no, it's not a situation of a possible sakana, a possible threat to one's life. Obviously, there's some kind of poison possibility or other situation. Obviously, all malachas are allowed to be performed in order to save somebody's life. Sif Nun Hei. Tzitzin, strips of skin, shehen k'min mitzua, stakas are like thin straps or strips, shapir shumei ara etzba, that separated partially or mostly from the skin of the finger, Savatiparin, right around the fingernail. Also, Asiron, you're not allowed to remove them, Bambi Kli, whether with a vessel, a utensil, like a scissors or a nail clippers, Bambi Ad, whether with your hands, Bambi Shinayim, whether with your teeth, it's forbidden. Because to remove part of a person's body, to pull off skin from a person's body, is a malacha of Taimesh, which is a malacha of removing parts of, similar to removing hair from a person's body, or Gezes, which is shearing wool from a sheep, similar to that malacha. It's a pyrin, shenifrash, rubai, but a fingernail, that the majority of the nail is separated, the karev, will he not take it, it's close to coming off, it's almost off, and it's causing the person pain. You are allowed to remove it with your hand, but not with a utensil. You can't use a clippers or a scissors, but you're allowed to pull it off with your hands. If, however, a majority of the nail is not yet severed, only a minority of the nail has been severed, also you're not allowed to remove it even with your hands or with your teeth, and therefore a person should really try to break himself of the nail-biting habit, because if a person is in the habit of biting his nails, he very likely will come to do so on Shabbos, and that is rabbinically prohibited. To remove nails by biting them is also midrabban and is prohibited rabbinically. Sif nun vav. Also in lishpay chotecha chaymetz, you're not allowed to pour into vinegar, shay mashkim, any other liquid, she is havu gam kin chaymetz, they should also turn into vinegar. Your intent here is to create more vinegar. So you're going to pour other liquids into the vinegar to make more vinegar. So that is forbidden. And the reason it's forbidden is because it's similar to the concept of pickling, where you put some type of fruit or vegetable into the vinegar to pickle it. And that is forbidden because it is similar to cooking. And therefore, you're not allowed to put the liquid into the vinegar either, because it's similar to this concept of pickling, which again is similar to cooking. Mishabura, however, permits one to dilute the vinegar. If your intent here is not to create more vinegar, rather your intent is to dilute the vinegar, then it's not similar at all in the slightest bit to pickling, because your intent is not to cause the new liquid to become pickled, but rather to dilute the strength of the vinegar that's already there, and that is permitted. Sif nun zayin. Basar shemloi nimach. Meat that was not salted, meaning an animal that was properly slaughtered. In order for a person to be able to cook the meat, it has to be kashered, as we call it, which means it has to be properly salted. And that salting has to take place within 3 days of the slaughtering. Otherwise, the meat becomes too hard, too tough, and the blood cannot be extracted through the agency of salting. So if we have meat that was not yet salted, the chalyim shlishi shalei b'shabbos, in the third day from the slaughtering, from the shechita, falls out to be on Shabbos, and you have to, the way to save yourself, and in order to be able to salt it afterwards, if you soak the meat, you wash the meat in water, you soak it, rinse it very well, you soak it in water, then then it will be permitted and extends your ability to salt it for another 3 days. So you want to wash off the meat, but since you're not using the meat today, so it ends up that you're doing an activity which is not for a Shabbos purpose. So the Kitzur tells us, and once again, V'chayim Shlishi Shalei B'Shabbos, the third day from the slaughtering fell out in Shabbos, Shem Lo Yadichu, if you will not rinse off the meat, the Hinesa will become forbidden. Yesh L'Hadichu Yadiyakum, you're allowed to rinse it off, you should have a non-Jew perform the rinsing. Aval Yidei Yisrael also, but to have a Jew do it is forbidden, again, because it's not for the purpose of Shabbos, and therefore it's forbidden. Mishtabur, however, seems to be lenient in a case where you actually cannot find a non-Jew to do it, and if you can't, so you're not going to be able to cook this meat anymore, you will not be able to salt it, and therefore cook it. So he seems to permit you, in such a case of pressing need, to wash it off even through the agency of a Jew. You yourself are allowed to wash it off, but he does say if the meat is already sitting in a container, then one should wash one's hands over the meat. So it's not obvious, you're not directly washing the meat, either you're washing your hands and the water is going into the container. You do that enough times until the meat is sitting, soaking, it's completely covered by the water, and therefore you have successfully rinsed off the meat without having directly directly rinsed it off. Rather, it looks like you just washing your hands and the meat got rinsed off by itself. Sif Nun Ches. Also, when Rayach Ritzia, you're not allowed to smear some type of bandage. If you have a thick medication on a bandage, you want to smear it on the bandage in order to apply it to a wound. V'chein Shaiva, or to smear wax. V'zefes, or tar. All these are very thick substances that you're not allowed to smear them on Shabbos, as the Memach is a told an offshoot of the Memach of Memachik, of smoothing. So too Memareach, which is smoothing these substances. Memachik is really smoothing a hide. You take some type of sharp instrument and you smooth down the hide. You run it across like a razor and you smooth the hide of the animal. It's part of the tanning process, the leather working process. Similarly, to smooth out one of these thick type of substances is subsumed under that malacha, that forbidden act, and therefore may not be done on Shabbos. Lachem, therefore. Also, in Litain Shaiva, Hashem and Av, you're not allowed to put wax or even thick oil, even though thick oil is not as thick as wax. If it's very thick and it's something which doesn't really run easily and is able to be smooth, you're not allowed to put such a thing, benekev, in a hole, let's say in a barrel or something, masasmai, to seal up the hole, ledovkai, or to attach it, connect it, alezadav, on top of something with simen as a marker, as a sign. So just to drop the wax on wouldn't be such a problem, but to smear it on would be forbidden. But food, mutter, is permitted to smear. For example, to smear butter on top of bread, or anything similar, that's all permitted. And therefore, really, the halacha is you're allowed to smear any type of food. However, the Mishnah Berurah brings an opinion that it's proper to be strict with a type of food that is normally doesn't really need smearing, but you sometimes smooth out the surface in order to give it a nice appearance. Sometimes when you'll serve egg salad or tuna fish, something like that, so you want to smooth over the pile to make it look pretty. So while it's technically speaking, it is permitted, and Mr. Brewer does bring an opinion that it's a proper thing to be strict not to smear it in that case because it's really not necessary. So to smooth it out in that situation, would not be, since it's not necessary, you could eat it just as well without that. So then there's an opinion that one should refrain from doing so, and one who does refrain is certainly it's a proper and a wonderful thing if one would refrain from doing that, but again, it is technically speaking permitted even in that situation, but certainly to take, let's say, some egg salad and then to spread it on a bread, even if you end up smoothing out the egg salad, that's certainly going to be permitted. Similar to spreading out butter or peanut butter or any type of spread on a piece of bread. Sifnun test. Also in Lishbar, you're not allowed to break a lachtech or to cut. Kol dover shein emaich, anything which is not food, you're not allowed to break it or cut it. Sometimes it could even potentially be a very serious transgression if you end up cutting it in a way where you make it into a usable item. So that could be the malacha of Makkah Patish, which we discussed earlier, is completing something. So in this case, you're making a vessel. For example, if you have a large piece of scrap, let's say plastic or something, and you break it or cut it in order to make it usable to be some type of cutting board or some type of plate, something along those likes, and that would be possibly even forbidden according to the Torah. But either way, it's going to be forbidden rabbinically to break or cut something. Except that we discussed earlier, and the Kitzur is not really bringing this up, but we did discuss earlier that in certain circumstances, if you have to get to something, if there's a wrapper or container which is preventing you from getting to something you need for Shabbos, whether it's food, whether it's utensils, and you want to rip it to get to that, so then we did say before, then it is permissible. However, the specific details of exactly what type of container you want is allowed to destroy and how you could destroy it are a little bit complicated, and one should preferably open all containers and bags and boxes before Shabbos starts. If not, one should consult with his Rav for further details exactly how to open it. But otherwise, the general rule, the kids are telling us that you're not allowed to break or to cut any item, which is not a food item. Food items you're certainly allowed to cut. But something which is food, certainly if it's people food, even if it's not fit for human consumption, it's animal fodder, mutter is permitted to break or to cut it, even in order to make it into a usable item. And therefore, mutter lachtach kasher, you're allowed to break straw, in order to pick your teeth, meaning you want to make a toothpick out of it, even though a regular piece of wood, in order to break a splinter off and make a toothpick, is forbidden because you just created a usable utensil. Since straw is animal fodder, so it's like cutting an apple in half. So taking that piece of straw and breaking it, even though your intent is to make it into a usable item, is permitted. That's if it's summoned fragrant pieces of wood. You're allowed to roll it or rub it, crush it between your fingers, and to cut them or to break them, in order to smell the fragrance. Even though they're very hard, it's a hard wood, and the animals will not really eat it. Okay, it seems hard as wood, and animals will not eat it still, since your intent is just to create the fragrance, or to improve the fragrance, to cause the fragrance to smell better. So that is permitted. But if you want to break them in order to clean your teeth with them, you want to make them into a toothpick, into a usable utensil, also that would be forbidden, even though they in and of themselves they are a fragrant item. And if you would like to break them in order to smell them, you'd be allowed. But in this case, since the purpose of your breaking them is in order to make it into a utensil, that is forbidden. Sif samach. Even a tree. Whether it's moist, whether it's dried out, which means whether it's alive or whether it's dead, whether it's the winter, whether it's the summer. And tree doesn't necessarily mean a big, tall cedar tree. It can even be a bush or a shrub, as long as it's more than 3 tefachim, more than 3 hands breadths above the ground, say between more than 9 inches above the ground. Amish tashmish, by shum tashmish, you're not allowed to utilize it for any purpose, for any use. Even though you don't move the tree, even if it would be a hard wood, or you do it very gently in a way which does not move the tree at all, still it's forbidden because of a special rabbinic decree that you're not allowed to use a tree. It may come to break off some of the branches or to pull off some of the leaves, which would be a malacha of kaitzer, that would be the forbidden act of harvesting on Shabbos. And therefore, you're not allowed to use a tree at all because you may come to do so. And the parentheses, the Kitzur informs us, didn't mean either, because if you would move the tree, the Ma'avachi, without this, meaning without this special rabbinic decree to prevent you from using a tree, there's a separate problem, because the Mutsa, there's the prohibition of Mutsa, which does not allow you to move the tree, since it's attached to the ground, and it's not a utensil, it's not useful, so therefore it is Mutsa, and you would not be allowed to move it. So to move the tree is forbidden in any case, because of Mutsa. Even if one does not move the tree, there's a separate rabbinic prohibition. You're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. In Eilam, but you're not allowed to climb the tree. In Nitlam, but you're not allowed to lean against the tree in a way where the brunt of your weight is being supported by a tree, as opposed to if you're really standing upright and you just put your hand or something against the tree, you're slightly leaning against it. Since if the tree wouldn't vanish into thin air, you wouldn't fall down. So you're not really considered to be leaning against the tree, and it's permitted as long as the tree is not moving. If, however, you're putting enough weight on the tree that the tree would instantly vanish, it would fall, so that's considered that you're using the tree, and it'll be forbidden. You're also not allowed to put any object onto the tree, or to remove an object from the tree. So, for example, if you hung something on the tree before Shabbos, a coat or a jacket or the like, or else your hat flew onto a tree on Shabbos, you have a problem. You can't remove that from the tree because that is the mishtamish bilam, that is using a tree, and you can't take it off the tree. And lichshah by the hamor, to tie an animal to it, b'chol kinyan by any other similar type of thing is forbidden. Now, feel of its study on even the sides of the tree. It does not mean the sides of the tree, the actual bark of the tree, that's the tree itself. The sides of the tree in this case means something which is connected to the tree. For example, a nail which is sticking out from the tree, or a basket which is directly hanging from the tree, that's considered studi on the sides of the tree. And also, as Tamish is forbidden to use that item which is connected to the tree. And therefore, in Sal, Taliyamav, if there's a basket hanging directly from the tree, also, you may not remove anything from the basket, or to put anything into the basket. Because this basket is considered the side of the tree and is forbidden to be used. If there's some type of peg or nail which is banged into the tree, fixed in the tree, and on that nail there is a basket which is hanging, you're allowed to remove things from the basket, but put things into the basket, because then the basket is considered the sides of the side. The side is the nail. The basket is one step removed from that, the side hanging on the nail, and therefore you're allowed to put things in and remove things from the basket. The asal also lichamishan, but the basket itself you're not allowed to remove from the nail. But with loisishan, to hang it on the nail, mishun the mishtamish b'yaseh, because then you are using the nail, which is itself, to have its stada hilum, which is the has the legal status of the sides of the tree, which we said is forbidden to use on Shabbos. Sif samach aleph kli shezayin by mini asavim. A utensil, vessel, say a flower pot, that you plant in with different types of grasses or herbs, like shoshanim or roses or other flowers, whether for beauty or lahariach, or the smell, for the fragrance. Also, in litlash b'menu, you're not allowed to pluck something from it, to harvest from it. Kamesha also in litlash b'menu, and just you're not allowed to harvest or pluck something from a tree, which is the malacha of kaitzer, it's the malacha of harvesting, so too you're not allowed to pick something from this flower pot, since it is growing there, so it is treated as if it's growing from the ground, and you may not pick something, remove something from it. But you have to be careful. Additionally, not to move it from the ground. I'm talking about it's on a dirt floor, so you can't remove it from that dirt floor. To put it somewhere else, because you are severing the nourishment that right now, as he's going to explain, right now the plant is becoming nourished from the ground, from the somehow through the aroma or the fragrance or the nutrients in the ground somehow make their way into the plant. And when you put it somewhere else, let's say on a table, and the Mishabura says even if you suspend it higher in the air, so then you're limiting the nourishment being received by the plant from the ground, that's also similar to harvesting. And as the Kitzur explains, the Kevin Kishu Aymid Al-Kaka, since when it's standing on the ground, it's growing from the fragrance, the aroma, or the nutrients in the ground. In Kena, Naitla Misham, one who removes it from there, have a Kamaitelish, it's like you're plucking, it's like you're harvesting it, which is forbidden. The Chen and Maimid, Makimacher, so too, if this plant, this flower pot, is standing somewhere else, meanwhile, on a table. And there's a break between the flower pot and the dirt. Also, in Litla, Lahamid, Al-Kaka, you're not allowed to take it from there and to put it on the ground. Because that's like planting it, because now you are putting it in a situation where it could receive nourishment from the ground, which is forbidden. One has to be careful with all of these things that we mentioned in this sif, whether the flower pot itself is made out of wood, whether it's made out of pottery, whether there are actual holes in it, whether there are no holes. Either way, we say that the plant could receive sustenance and nourishment from the ground. And it's a problem of removing it or placing it on the ground. And either way, it's forbidden to harvest from it, whether or not it has a hole and whether material is made out of. Sif samach beis. Also in lichtav, you're not allowed to write. But in lasa, it's easier to make a picture. I feel of it, but even with your finger, not with a writing implement, just with your finger, if a mashkin shalash shochan, there was liquid that was spilled on the table, you're not allowed to draw pictures or letters in that liquid, even though it's certainly not going to last. Or on the condensation, which is on a glass window, even though, again, it's certainly not permanent, still you're not allowed to write, even in a semi-permanent or a non-permanent fashion. Or to use any other type of item, even though it's not going to last, whether it's invisible ink or whether it's in dust, which is going to get scattered, it doesn't make a difference, whatever way in which you write, it's forbidden, rabbinically forbidden. Even to make a slight mark with your fingernail is a dover on some item with simin as some type of sign. Let's say you want to score a piece of paper to remind you that there's a word there that needs fixing, or to remind as a bookmark. that's forbidden to do. It's forbidden to do. Nimsa shayvo kudayme, if you find wax or something similar, shenata v'alasefer that dripped onto a book or into a sefer, v'afilu rakalei sachas, if it just dripped onto one letter, and therefore that letter is not readable, also lest you're not allowed to remove it, because you are now making the letter visible. It sounds like you're learning it's similar to writing, because you are now making the letter, you're making the letter readable. Samach Gimel. Kishem shall also lichta, the same way you're not allowed to write, as we discussed in the previous sef. Kach also limchak, you're not allowed to erase kol mashnuchta, whatever has been written. So if you wrote in condensation on the window, whether you did it before Shabbos or on Shabbos, you're not allowed to erase it. When we call Malkin, still, Maisan Ugais, those cakes or cookies, shall also amayam Aisi Aisvitzirim, that they made in them or on them letters or pictures. And we're talking about in the body of the cake or the cookie itself were engraved letters, or the cake itself was formed in the shape of a letter. Mutal Shabram, you're allowed to break them and eat them on Shabbos because it's just a cake. We don't view it as being writing. The cake happens to be the shape of a letter, so that's fine. Or there's engraved, you know, letters engraved on the cake, that's also okay. Achinasu came to school, however, this cake or this writing was made for some type of charm for children. Yishlo Achmer Behem, you should be strict about that. I'm not really sure what type of charm he's referring to. And the Mishpura does not bring this halacha about this school of Lektanim. One more point, however, the Mishpura does say that if the writing on the cake is of a different substance, for example, with icing, frosting, then one should not break apart, cut through the letters, since it's a separate substance which is being written on the cake. We don't view it as part of the cake. We view it as if you have writing on the cake, and that's problematic. You would not be allowed to cut or to break through those letters. If you're eating the cake, if you have a piece of cake which has a letter on it, you must chew it. Even though that breaks the letter, that would be okay, but actively break the letters beforehand with a knife or with your hands, that would be forbidden, since the letters are written in using a separate substance on top of the cake or the cookie. Sif Samach Dalet. Svarim, if you have svarim, which are books, or svarim, holy books, shalchudi agil yonis, on the edges of the pages, ibachutz on the outside, nichtavos, yes, they're written letters, meaning when you close the book, so you can read letters or words on the outside, on the edges of the paper, which is common, for example, by library books. Public library books often have this. Nyesha Eistrin, there are those who forbid you, or Paiskhan, to open them, or to close them b'Shabbos, because every time you open the book, you're breaking the letters, you're destroying, which is the mamacha of maichek, of erasing. Every time you close the book, you are writing the letters, because now the letters come together and are readable, which is the malacha of kaisev, of writing, and therefore they say you're not allowed to open or close the book. The Yesh Matiyam, there are those who permit it because since it's made like this, open and close, it's not considered writing or erasing. The Chaynagin, this is the custom, the common custom is to be lenient about this and to open such a type of sefer, even though it has writing on the outside. But still, Me'achash, Yesh Matiyam, because since there are those who forbid it, Yesh Matiyam, Me'lichtadkin, a person should really properly stop, not hold himself back from writing like that. If you own your own sefer or book, you should not write your name or anything on the outside of the pages in that manner. This way you won't come to be involved in this halacha question of whether it's permitted or whether it's forbidden.